Windows all the way around, a rowdy flapping of green and yellow striped awnings. It was the last house on the street, which dead-ended at the sea. Her father eased the Model J against the curb and turned off the motor.
"Tuts," he said. "Don't squint at Mr. Stiles' house."
"Of course I won't squint at his house."
"You're doing it now."
"No," she said. "I'm making my eyes narrow."
"That's squinting," he said. "You've just defined it."
"Not for me."
He turned to her sharply. "Don't squint." That was when she knew. She heard him swallow dryly and felt a chirp of worry in her stomach. She was not used to seeing her father nervous. Distracted, yes. Preoccupied, certainly.
"Why doesn't Mr. Stiles like squinting?" she asked.
"No one does."
"He never told me that before."
"Would you like to go home?"
"No, thank you."
"I can take you home."
"If I squint?"
"If you give me the headache I'm starting to get."
"If you take me home," Anna said, "you'll be awfully late."
She thought he might slap her. He'd done it once, after she'd let fly a string of curses she'd heard on the docks, his hand finding her cheek invisibly as a whip. The specter of that slap still haunted Anna, with the odd effect of heightening her boldness in defiance of it. Her father rubbed the middle of his forehead, then looked back at her. His nerves were gone. She had cured them. "Anna," he said, "you know what I need you to do."
"Of course."
"Be your charming self with Mr. Stiles' children while I speak with Mr. Stiles."
"I knew that, Papa."
"Of course you did."
She left the Model J with eyes wide and watering in the sun. It had been their own automobile until after the stock market crash. Now it belonged to the union, which lent it back for her father to do union business. Anna liked to go with him when she wasn't in school, to racetracks, communion breakfasts and church events, office buildings where elevators lofted them to high floors, occasionally even a restaurant, but never before to a private home like this. The door pull was answered by Mrs. Stiles, who had a movie star's sculpted eyebrows and a long mouth painted glossy red. Accustomed to judging her own mother prettier than every woman she encountered, Anna was disarmed by the evident glamour of Mrs. Stiles.
"I was hoping to meet Mrs. Kerrigan," Mrs. Stiles said in a husky voice, holding Anna's father's hand in both of hers, to which he replied that his younger daughter had taken sick that morning and his wife had stayed at home to nurse her. There was no sign of Mr. Stiles. Politely, but she hoped without visible awe, Anna accepted a glass of lemonade from a silver tray carried by a Negro maid in a pale blue uniform. In the high polish of the entrance hall's wood floor, she caught the reflection of her own red dress sewn by her mother. Beyond the windows of an adjacent front room, the sea tingled under a thin winter sun. Mr. Stiles' daughter, Tabitha, was only 8, 3 years younger than Anna. Still, Anna allowed the little girl to tow her by the hand to a downstairs nursery, a room dedicated purely to playing, filled with a shocking array of toys. A quick survey discovered a flossy flirt doll, several large teddy bears, and a rocking horse. There was a nurse in the nursery, a freckled, raspy-voiced woman whose woolen dress strained like an overstacked bookshelf to repress her massive bust. Anna guessed from the broad lay of her face and the merry switch of her eyes that nurse was Irish, and felt a danger of being seen through. She resolved to keep her distance. Two small boys, twins, or at least interchangeable, were struggling to attach electric train tracks. Partly to avoid nurse, who rebuffed the boys' pleas for help, Anna crouched beside the disjointed tracks and proffered her services. She could feel the logic of mechanical parts in her fingertips. This came so naturally that she could only think that other people didn't really try. They always looked, which was as useless when assembling things as studying a picture by touching it. Anna fastened the piece that was vexing the boys and took several more from the freshly opened box. It was a Lionel train, the quality